This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
New York City will soon convert some of its hotels into temporary hospitals, hoping to deal with the growing need for facilities amid the coronavirus pandemic. The mayor, Bill de Blasio, saying the city is working with the federal government to lease rooms and, in some cases, entire hotels that are near overburdened hospitals. The NCAA Division I Council is granting an extra year of eligibility to student athletes in spring sports whose seasons were cut short because of the pandemic. A new poll is suggesting most Americans do not believe the economy will bounce back quickly after the pandemic ends. The Harris poll out today finds 30% of Americans say it'll probably take about 4 months until the virus spread flattens before they can do things like even go out to dinner. And this is USA Radio News.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So, yes, they can help share your needs, too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Two U.S. Navy hospital ships are now serving two of the nation's biggest cities in the face of the coronavirus outbreak. Here's more from USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
I watched that beautiful ship floating in today into, weeks ahead of schedule, almost 4 weeks ahead of schedule.
President Trump in the Rose Garden at the daily White House coronavirus briefing, talking about the USNS Comfort arriving in New York City. The vessel and the members of the military on board will be able to support local hospitals dealing with corona cases and be able to treat up to 1,000 patients with other ailments.
And I watched the Mercy floating in to Los Angeles almost a week ago. They are really ready to go. They're stocked with both talent and tremendous amounts of equipment.
The White House Coronavirus Task Force is to give further details today about social distancing guidelines after the president announced on Sunday it was extending them through April 30th. And this is USA Radio News.
You know, I've told you I get the best sleep of my life with my MyPillow, but I'm not the only one. Mark in Las Vegas told me the other day, we were talking on other business, he says he went to MyPillow.com, clicked on the radio listener special, and used the promo code USA. He got a great deal on a MyPillow, and he is enjoying his sleep now. You can too. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, and I promise you, you'll get the best sleep of your life, or you get your money back.
President Trump clashing with a familiar media foe at yesterday's coronavirus update. Here's more from USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
At the event in the Rose Garden, the president calling on CNN's Jim Acosta during the Q&A period.
What do you say to Americans who believe that you got this wrong?
And I do want them to stay calm, and we are doing a great job. If you look at those individual statements, they're all true. Stay calm. It will go away. You know it is going away, and it will go away, and we're going to have a great victory. And it's people like you and CNN that say things like that. It's why people just don't want to listen to CNN anymore. You could ask a normal question. The statements I made are, I want to keep the country calm. I don't want panic in the country. I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player. But you know what? I don't want to do that.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
The Netflix docuseries Tiger King is drawing the attention of Florida law enforcement, which now wants the public to give new leads on the case of Don Lewis, the husband of Carol Baskin. Baskin is featured in Tiger King and has been missing since 1997. And Dolly Parton is reading kids' books every Thursday to help pass the time while everyone sits in isolation. The YouTube channel series, Good Night with Dolly, starts on Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on her Imagination Library channel. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop to hear what's that sound. Everybody look what's going on.
Well, happy Tuesday as we wrap up the month of March together. I am Bill Martinez. Good to have you with us. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Dr. Michael Buzler is with us now. Michael is the public policy analyst, economics professor. And, you know, we're going to be talking, of course, what everybody's talking about and the implications now that Congress and Trump has signed the historic coronavirus spending bill. Dr. Buzler, always good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me. It's always my pleasure to be here.
Okay, so now with all this money approved, we're hearing Lindsey Graham this morning rather annoyed that the money's been released, but we've got it being released in a, you know, very arcane system that because we've been yelling about this for a number of weeks that we needed to get money that belonged to the people. I'm just talking about unemployment insurance. I mean, this is in, you know, in their bucket. They have been putting money toward unemployment insurance, you know, for a long time. Now we have an emergency like this, and they need to be able to draw from that immediately. That's what I said to Senator Scott several weeks ago. I mean, states are allowed to declare a state of emergency so that they can have immediate access to funds and other benefits as a result of being in a state of emergency. But I guess for the everyday citizen, it's not appropriate.
Yeah. So looking at the stimulus package, I think look at the big picture here for a minute, and then we'll talk about getting the money to the people quickly. But the big picture is the stimulus package is good and it's bad. Mm-hmm. Now, why do I say that? It's good because many of the things you mentioned and the fact that since the economy is virtually shut down, we could go into a very severe recession. Mm-hmm. So in order to avoid that, the federal government passed this massive stimulus package, which will provide money eventually to consumers, and people have been laid off from work. That's good, and that means that they'll be able to pay their bills on time, and we don't know how long this is going to last, but it looks like at least another month until people can even begin to start to go back to work. Mm-hmm. So getting this money to these people is a good idea. It's the right thing to do. It will minimize any negative effects of this recession going forward. Also has some provisions for small business, and again, there's a logistics problem, how you get the money to them quickly, but it does have provisions for small business, mostly through the Small Business Administration, to make loans to small business, and as long as they use the loan to pay wages of workers and they can keep all the workers employed, the government will forgive some of the loans, so they don't even have to pay it back.
Right.
So that's very good. That'll stop a steep recession from getting very steep and causing some long-term harm. Now, why do I say it's bad? Prior to this, when the economy was going very strong, by the way, January and February were excellent months for the economy. We're on our way to probably the best year we've had since 2005 until the coronavirus hit. Before we passed the stimulus package, the government budget had a $1 trillion deficit. Now, we just spent $2.2 trillion more. That will take the deficit up over $3 trillion. And with the economy being shut down, tax revenue into the government will go down significantly. We can end up with a $3.5, even close to $4 trillion deficit this year. Mm-hmm. We can't afford that. Our public debt is already, the public debt's accumulation of all deficits, is already $23 trillion, and we're going to add $3 or $4 trillion more to it. And we're
in 1 year.
Looking at some other things. So the stimulus package is both good and bad. I'd be a little nervous about going any further with stimulus packages until we see how this played out. Now, the original question was, how do we get this money?
Well, Michael, hang on just a second before we get there. In light of what you just said, that realistically we're probably going to look at, before the year's up, a deficit. I mean, we skipped over, man, we're 23. We skipped over 24, 25, 20. We're going to be $27 trillion in debt by the end of the year. And I got to tell you, it all the more raises the irritation for those politicians that were more interested in other things other than the coronavirus. They took advantage of the people's fear and despair and the need for support. And they felt like, look, at the cost of doing business with Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats is that, hey, we're going to get we're going to make sure we get a piece of ours in the process.
Yeah, they tried to put in a lot of extra spending on many of their social issues, solar panels and other things that they want to spend money on that it, under normal times, Congress wouldn't even consider. Now they're right. Talking about doing an infrastructure bill, and we all know we need infrastructure. We just don't need it right now because we simply don't have the money for that.
Yeah, if we don't take care of this, there's not going to be people to need an infrastructure. This is where priorities shift. And, of course, what's really irritating is one of the things that stood out was initially was $35 million for the Kennedy Center. And even Donald Trump tried to, make a silk purse out of that. But, no sooner they get the money, they lay off musicians. And, the whole idea of them getting the money, yes, facelift, but also because it's all about jobs, right? We want to keep people working in on unemployment, not unemployment. And they say, thank you very much for the $25 million. You're fired.
Yeah. And that's not what's supposed to happen. As we said, with the small business loans, the idea is for them to keep all of their workers employed. And if they do that, the government said, we'll forgive some of the loans, or maybe even all the loans. So we're trying to put the money into businesses' hands in order to keep everybody working. And what happened up in New York is a clear example of how this is not meant to happen.
Well, I'm sure the Democrats wrote that part of the bill in such a way that they got it regardless. It's a grant, or it's just a gift from the government. There's not going to be any responsibility to pay it back, even though they've decide to let go some musicians. And these are the things. What's so ironic about this, Michael, is that the Democrats will often blame big business for taking the money and running and putting it in their own pocket. And here it is, the poster child of this whole, this whole thing, in a sense, is the Kennedy Center. And this is their pet project. And they do the very same thing that they accuse big business of doing. It's quite rich and ironic, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is, and that's why we have to watch how we're doing these things. This is not a time to go crazy with spending just because the mood of the country is that maybe you can slip these things through. Another thing is, when they start spending a lot of this money, some of it may be a little bit counterproductive. For instance, with unemployment compensation. Now, we want
yes.
to make sure everybody gets that as quickly as possible. But they added 4 months onto unemployment compensation, and they raised the amount by $600 a week.
Yeah, we incentivized them to stay home. We've got to go to break. We've got more from Dr. Michael Busler, the public policy analyst and economics professor right here with Bill Martinez, just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports, too. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about. Providing for your family, even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection. And you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers. And their agents are experts at helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. You know, I was just talking with Michael Busler off the air here and talking about the disconnection of the reality and the seriousness of the coronavirus. And I understand it took us a while, even in reporting on it and wondering, okay, is this flu-like? I mean, Liz Peek and I talked about it, and she was pretty emphatic right away. Bill, this is more than the flu. This is much more. And she obviously had more information. And I'm going, well, you know, are we overreacting and that sort of thing? But here we are. I mean, what is it, Michael? Something like 17 17 of the states now have stay-at-home orders. Actually, 31 states, D.C. and Puerto Rico, 10 states and D.C. are threatening jail time and fines. I mean, this thing is really, this thing is very serious. And, you know, I was watching, you know, people in New York doing what people in New York do. You know, you got a big boat coming in, you know, down the river there, and they all come out to sea violating, you know, all the social distancing guidelines and everything. And look, we got to stop thinking of ourselves. We have to think of 330 million Americans, and you've got to follow the guidelines. It's that serious. I mean, what was it? Dr. Birx said, if we hadn't done anything, we'd be looking at 2.2 million deaths this year. That I mean, get your brain around that. 2.2 million. That's just about every family in the United States being affected in one form or another. 2.2 million. That is 40 years of flu deaths. Is what Lindsey Graham said. I mean, that is awesome to think of that. And the other thing is, you and I were talking about, is these people are dying. I think part of the disconnect that's contributing here is the families, when they lose a loved one, you know, they get a message from the hospital, they lost a loved one. It's not like the whole family is around the deathbed. You know, once they're taken into the hospital, they're so sequestered and quarantined that there's no family, you know, connection. There's nobody there at the bedside. I mean, these people who are dying of the coronavirus are dying alone, except for the nurses that are there. I mean, that's, to me, I'll tell you, Michael, that destroys me to think of that.
Yeah, I tell you, it's very, very difficult. And, you know, you brought up a couple of good points. When this first happened, we didn't realize how bad it could be. Remember, the first case here was January 21st. Mm-hmm. 10 days later, President Trump said nobody coming in from China anymore because that's where the disease is. On February 5th, China said that this coronavirus cannot be transmitted person to person. On February 5th,
why did he say that, Michael? Where was he getting the information that gave him the confidence to make that statement?
I'm not sure. And
well, try China and the World Health Organization.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, go ahead.
The World Health Organization said the same thing. This can't be transmitted person to person. So at that time, we only had a few cases, and the president, relying on what the World Health Organization said, he came out and said, look, this doesn't have to be a catastrophe. We don't have to overreact to this. Let's just handle this. Then it turned out that we weren't getting accurate information, and as a result, the numbers started to pile up, and we had to kick into full gear to try to deal with this. Eventually, the president said, look, this is the equivalent of war here, so we're going to go at it like that. I think from the time they decided to do that, really, the end of February, about 30 days ago, I think the response has been marvelous. The private sector is working with the government to produce everything that we need. That's in short supply, the tests, the masks, the personal protection equipment. There are companies that have changed their production lines.
Exactly.
Rapidly in order to do this. So I think in another week or two, and I hope the number of cases doesn't grow too fast, but another week or two, we should have more than we need of everything. And these companies will be geared up now that they can start the supply to the rest of the world too. And You're right. Once we realized how devastating this could be, we have to take drastic action. And in the last few days, President Trump's team has emphasized, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx have emphasized that if we don't do this, we could end up with catastrophic numbers of people dying. So it's very imperative that we take these actions. And look, these actions are difficult. People like to socialize with each other. You like to see your family and friends, and you won't be able to do that. People need to work, too, and we won't be able to do that, at least for a lot of people. But it's a sacrifice we're going to have to make until we get over the hump of this. And now we're starting to see some medications that are helping to cure this. They're working on vaccines. This is probably going to pop up again next flu season, which is when the cold weather starts in the late fall. But these vaccines typically take years to get approved. We're now having some that should be approved in about 6 or 7 months. And it really shows that when the American people, the government, the business, and the people get together with a common cause, that we can really get things done. Mm-hmm. You know, I wondered for years, there's such divisiveness in this country. The Republicans and the Democrats are so far apart, and many times they can't even talk to each other. I said, what would it possibly take to bring everybody together? Yeah. And as bad as this coronavirus is, this is really what a national emergency, this is really what it took to bring everybody together. And I hope it has positive effects going forward and having people work together.
Yeah, and answer your question, a world war. And this, in a sense, is, you know, a silent enemy that we are combating here. And we need to maintain a war footing where everybody is involved. And I say step one, Michael, and we've been repeating this on the show all week long, is it starts with self-responsibility. You know, we the people, you want to know what you can do? Yes, there's big businesses doing big things. They're retrofitting their lines and, you know, creating new products, you know, ventilators and masks, you know, 3M, whether it's 3M, you know, Ford, General Motors, on and on. I mean, doing great things. You got businesses that they're talking about hiring, you know, hundreds of thousands. I mean, I think a million, over a million jobs just waiting in the offing and hiring people in order to handle this emergency situation. So, hey, look at, you know, if you want to work, there's some things there. But more importantly, the number one thing you can do as a citizen of this country, be responsible. Do the right thing. You know, you can't be, and I was mentioning on Monday over the weekend, I was playing golf here in Florida, and there, you know, there are some courses that are still open, and they're maintaining social distancing, doing all those appropriate things. Well, there were four guys that just flew in the night before from New York. New York's a hot spot. What the hell are they doing flying into Florida for? And, you know, with all due respect, and, of course, Governor DeSantis, I tweeted out and put a call into his office, and they said, well, we've got choke points right now, you know, on the 95 and the 10, because we want to, you know, make sure that we're keeping people from Louisiana who are escaping out of Louisiana, you know, coming east to come to Florida, and then people down the 95 driving. I said, well, what about the airports? I mean, these guys, I mean, they worked around the system to come in and get away from it, and they may be asymptomatic, but who knows? They came from a hot spot. This is how communal spread happens, Michael.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you bring up a good point about individual responsibility. I mean, can people get away with doing this? Maybe. And a lot of them are trying. But people have to be responsible. Otherwise, what could be fairly mild could turn out to be a disaster.
Without a doubt. Yeah, exactly. You know, Dr. Birx's related. I don't know if you heard Dr. Birx's personal story about her mother, that her mother, when she was a child, you know, she contracted, you know, I think it was her mother or grandmother, but this was the flu of the early 1900s, right? She contracted it at school, brought it home. She was asymptomatic, gave it to her mother. Her mother dies. She carried this through her life, that she was responsible for the death of her mother. Could you imagine that kind of responsibility on a little kid all throughout their adult life?
That's extremely, extremely difficult, and that's why it's so important for all of us to exercise that social responsibility.
We got to leave it there. Thank you, Dr. Michael Bussler.
Is immune support on your mind these days? Quantum Nutrition Labs is here to help. While supplies last, a wide variety of high-quality, immune-focused supplements are 20% off, including vitamin C, zinc, and vitamin D3. Now is a great time to stock up on the items you'll want to keep on hand, ready to use when you need them. Call 888-588-7578 to speak with our highly trained nutritional consultants. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Democratic frontrunner for the White House is calling on President Trump to move more quickly in combating the coronavirus pandemic in the United States.
Speed matters. We know that you can't go too fast. It's about going too slow.
That's Joe Biden speaking from his home in Delaware on MSNBC, also accusing President Trump of issuing conflicting and confusing statements about the virus over the past few weeks. Biden argued that Trump needs to, quote, step up and do his job and stop campaigning. Congressman Mark Meadows about to start a new job at the White House to become President Trump's fourth chief of staff effective today, giving his resignation letter to the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi last night. He's been representing North Carolina's 11th district for about 7 years. And this is USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Yeah, that operative pronoun we, okay, it requires all hands on deck. Standing by right now, 28 minutes before the top of the hour, we're going to be joining my favorite Louisiana Cajun crusher, the one and only Jeff Cruer. Meanwhile, while we're waiting to connect, the chords together, because sometimes they get knots in them. I mean, it's a real technical thing. And you've got to be highly trained in order to manage the connectivity when you bring two shows together like this. He in Louisiana and here a national show in over 300 markets across the country. But as we wait here, I thought I'd, remind you of this ode that we played yesterday. It's just so cool. I mean, you know, for those of us who have been deprived and, you know, wanting to hear, you know, classical, you know, Philharmonic type music, we were reminded of the Rotterdam Philharmonic Orchestra. They got together on their 100th anniversary and they did something rather unique where they had gotten 19 musicians separately in 19 separate, you know, locations, and they each, played their part to Beethoven's Ode to Joy. You know, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Remember that one? And they each played their portion, and it went to a scratch track, as they call it. And the engineers put it together, and here's what you got. The Rotterdam Philharmonic Orchestra delivering Beethoven's Ode to Joy with 19 musicians playing their parts from their homes. It's just absolutely gorgeous. At a time when we need to, have Ode for Joy, and the Ode for Joy is, is looking up, not looking down. Hey, we join, as I mentioned and as I promised, the one and only Cajun Crusher himself, Jeff Cruer from Louisiana, live there, as we're live from Florida and around 300-plus markets across the country. Hey, Mr. Jeff, how we doing, buddy?
All right, Mr. Bill, how are you, sir? Good morning.
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Blessings to Louisiana. Here it is, the devastating news. The coronavirus has hit hard there in the state, and, the Cajuns doing what they do. I mean, they're manning up and taking on this virus head on. And, you know, and God bless you. Prayers to Louisiana. And right now, you know, beignets have stopped, which is really upsetting because we have no beignets coming east because Governor DeSantis says, you know, we love Louisiana, but you can't come into the state right now.
I know. We can't go to Texas. We can't go a lot of places because we're a hot spot, Bill. But we're used to tragedy here. We're used to setbacks. And we overcome them. Katrina was a perfect example, and
exactly.
This is going to be something we're going to overcome. And we've got a lot of resilient people here that are taking heed and making sure that they're not spreading any disease. We just want to get back to work as soon as we can. And I'm just speaking for a lot of our local folks who are grateful to what the federal government has done and President Trump. And I certainly don't appreciate the mayor of New Orleans blaming Donald Trump for not getting the Mardi Gras bill.
What is that all about? I mean, you know, at a time when the esprit de corps should be such that we're thinking about the greater good, because this kind of bickering stuff is what divides us. And at a time when we need everybody, we need 100%. The closer to 100% cooperation in these guidelines that have been put out there, the 15 days to, you know, slow or stop the spread, as Mike Pence and President Trump have put it, this is critical. And in direct proportion to the individual cooperation and adherence to that guideline is going to have a direct effect on the minimization of the deaths. I mean, Dr. Birx was talking that if we hadn't done anything, Jeff, 2.2 million people, that's 40 years of flu deaths we would have by the end of this year.
So all these mitigation practices, I think, have helped. I think we see the light at the end of the tunnel. I do think this is going to be ending, and we'll be able to, as the president said, be back to normal by June 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the American people are going to be ready to get back to work. I'm just worried about the cost on our economy and on the jobs, but we'll do what we have to do. The anger that I have is off the charts, Bill, when you look at some of these Democrats trying to take political pot shots at the president and also these, folks that are appeasing communist China.
The is that bizarre?
Media. I mean, it's just it's outrageous to me, Bill.
Well, you know, and I know some people might say, look, it's a little bit early to look to China, but already it's been reported where, you know, you talk about hot spots. They have been saying for a long time their wet markets have been the source of so many viral issues, and they had closed them down for a bit. Now they're reopening them again, Jeff.
I know. I saw pictures, Bill, of dogs, cats, bats, and more in these markets, and they're open again. It's sick.
You see, this is, to me, is the indictment, Jeff, on the whole globalist mindset. These are globalists. This is kind of infection. Not only the thinking, but the practices is what they want to bring to our country. So open up the doors. This is all part and parcel of globalism, and especially when you have spokespeople from the World Health Organization defending the Chinese. I mean, you can't defend them right now. I mean, I'm okay for saying, look, let's just tamp it down right now. We've got a priority, and the priority is the lives of American citizens. Italy has the lives of their citizens. Every nation. We've got 190 now. 190 countries have been affected by coronavirus.
Right.
This spread. Thank you very much. But we'll get down to the bottom of it. But there's no question. I believe the international community at some point is going to be sending a bill to China saying, thank you very much. This is on you.
It is on them. They lied about it, Bill. They didn't let the world know about it. They didn't let our investigators in there to do the work that was needed in the very beginning. We still don't know the details about how this whole thing got started. I don't trust the communist Chinese. We shouldn't be manufacturing our pharmaceuticals and other key items in their country. So the silver lining in this whole disaster is that maybe more goods will be made in America.
Yes,
maybe
bring them back home.
Seeing what the communist Chinese are all about. I mean, let's hope and pray that we're going to stop currying favor with these dictators in China.
We've got to sear up our defenses, and even here domestically, I mean, particularly in these Democratic states that knew that there was a health infrastructure shortage and issue. But these, you know, governors made clear choices that were antithetical in the face of the warning. And now here they are screaming for help, and it's going, well, wait a minute. You knew this 5-6 years ago. You had money. We gave you money. And, you know, nobody's really yelling and screaming about it. But get ready for that noise to get real loud, too, because they're going to say, wait a minute. We, the people, part of the federal budget, gave you money for health infrastructure. What did you do with the money?
You know, the lack of action goes back years. There were experts warning about the potential pandemic and what it would cost to this country, and we wasted money on other things. They did it in states like New York, Bill. So when we go back and examine how we sort of reached the point where we are now, we need to look back several administrations and see, you know, how we dropped the ball here. The one administration I don't think we should be criticizing is the one that we're in now.
Exactly.
It's done a tremendous job in dealing with this crisis, Bill.
Well, you know, you talk about a sense of urgency. He's been the only one. I mean, in January, when he first heard about the problem, when he realized, against the advice of his, you know, inner circle, who said, no, do not shut down the airports. That'll be the World Health Organization. China, you know, refuted Donald Trump's decision.
Right.
They called him xenophobic. And now they're saying, had he not done that, millions of deaths would have been the line of the day. Yes.
You know who else called him xenophobic? Was also creepy, sleepy Joe Biden.
Exactly.
And Democrats did. So thank goodness Joe Biden wasn't president when this thing started, Bill. We'd have a real horror show on our hands.
Well, I've often said that experience defines preference, Jeff Cruer. And we've got a lot of experience here, and America needs to open up their minds and make sure that they understand what their preference is for the kind of government and the kind of leaders they want leading their country, right?
Oh, yes, indeed. And we've got the right leader for the right time. And I'm going to be working day and night to make sure he's going to be elected again for another 4 years, Bill.
Jeff Cruer, he is New Orleans' favorite son, Louisiana's favorite, and the Cajun Crusher, his daily show on WGSO 990 AM.
Mortgage rates are at all-time lows. The question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards.
Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068.
Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg, founder and CEO of Facebook, announced the launch of Facebook's COVID-19 Information Center to ensure people get access to information from trusted health sources. The Information Center includes real-time updates from national health authorities and global organizations, as well as helpful articles, videos, and posts about social distancing and preventing the spread of COVID-19. In addition, Facebook is matching $20 million in donations to support COVID-19 relief efforts, while giving the World Health Organization free ads. KX Jin is head of health at Facebook.
We have been working with health authorities since the WHO declared COVID-19 a public health emergency in late January. Our priority has and continues to be focused on helping people stay informed with credible health information from the experts, as well as combating misinformation.
For more, visit Facebook.com. That's www.facebook.com.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We don't see color here. We just love America.
Where this hurts, you show me what healing can do. Where this hatred, you show me how kindness can do.
Back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Tim Bakken is joining us in just a few seconds, but a little bit about Tim's background. He was the first civilian promoted to professor of law in West Point's history. He created the Department of Law at the National Military Academy of Afghanistan in Kabul. He became a federal whistleblower after reporting what he believed was corruption at West Point. In his new book, The Cost of Loyalty, Dishonesty, Hubris, and Failure in the U.S. Military, he says there's a reason why the U.S. hasn't won a war in 75 years. Tim Bakken, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks very much. Good to be with you.
Okay, so break it down for us. What is the reason why we haven't won a war in 75 years?
I looked at Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and some people would say that those were not losing wars, but no matter how we characterize them, we've had a lot of difficulties, and they're certainly not places that turned out the way that we wanted them to turn out. Over those four wars, across 75 years, we've had nine presidents and about 35 different Congresses. That is, Congress has met 35 times or so during those years and provided the military with an enormous amount of funding, $700 billion a year today. And certainly, a lot of soldiers and a lot of soldiers who have unfortunately lost their lives during those wars. And it seemed to be time to look more at the military than at the civilian sector for why we have failed. And a couple of the main reasons that I think are prominent are that the military has withdrawn from civilian society. This happened after World War II and especially after the Vietnam War, when the military withdrew into itself, and it, in fact, even obtained special permission in a number of Supreme Court cases where the Supreme Court deferred to the military and said, you are a separate society, mm-hmm. and because of that, you can take away constitutional rights from soldiers. The implication of that is not that the military necessarily wants to, but it has become more insular. And as a result, soldiers do not speak up. We do not know what's happening in the military. It's separate from civilian society. And what has developed, and this is the title of the book, The Cost of Loyalty, mm-hmm. is that the military is more loyal to itself often and the careers of officers, especially high-ranking officers, than to the citizens of the United States. And mm-hmm. therefore, I'm saying there needs to be a revamping of this concept. And civilians in the United States need to bring the military back together with civilian society, and we need to be more interested in looking at why we've lost these wars instead of saying that the military is an institution that is outside criticism.
Exactly. Well, Professor, what we saw recently with the Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher, to your point, to me, that kind of proves what you're saying here, does it not? Or am I misinterpreting something?
I've included the Gallagher case in the book. What has happened, and a lot of people don't realize this either, is that the military has its own legal system. Gallagher and Navy SEALs are within the Navy's legal system. The Army has its legal system, and the Air Force has its legal system. Those legal systems operate within this separate culture that I've described. And as a result of that, the things that we consider to be everyday civilian values and mores and operations are sometimes unknown in the military. Let me give you just one small example that people probably do not recognize, and that is whether it's the Gallagher case or any other case in the military, it's the commander of a unit that has the complete authority to decide whether to bring charges at all. And it's that commander who has a vested interest in whether somebody is guilty or not guilty, because no matter what happens in a particular case, that case will either show that the commander is acting properly or acting improperly, or that the command conditions underneath him or her are good or bad. So he or she, the commander, has a vested interest. And what people further do not understand is in that in all military cases, it's the commander who even selects the jurors, and the jurors are officers in a case where an officer is tried and where a non-officer is tried, they're officers and enlisted, has complete discretion in choosing who the jurors will be. That's
wow.
very foreign to our civilian concepts, and it leads to a lot of probably erroneous decisions because people have inherent conflicts of interest throughout the system.
Yeah, it leaves it wide open for that, Professor. I was not aware of that. I thought the Uniform Code of Military Justice was universal within the military branches, but no?
Well, the UCMJ, as you just mentioned, applies to all the branches, but all the branches have their own prosecutors and their own courts. There is one kind of military Supreme Court that does hear all the cases from all the branches of the military, but nonetheless, each branch has its own system within the UCMJ, but more importantly, we don't have any civilian influence on that system. I'll give you a couple examples from the wars that I've talked about in the last 75 years. The Korean War involved some misconduct by soldiers where they killed civilians. The Vietnam War involved that. Everybody's heard of the My Lai massacre,
right,
even if they don't completely understand that U.S. soldiers killed about 500 civilians, mainly women and children. And then in more recent wars, in Haditha, Iraq, for example, we saw soldiers, Marines, killing approximately 24 women and children. Now, it's not the point of the book to get down on soldiers or Marines at all, but the bigger point is that in all those killings, one was Nogun Ri, Korea, My Lai, Vietnam,
right,
and Haditha, Iraq, there was only one person, Lieutenant William Calley, who was ever convicted for all the killings. The military is by nature a self-protective institution, and it's very reluctant to hold itself accountable.
Wow. We're talking with Professor Tim Back in his new book, The Cost of Loyalty, Dishonesty, Hubris, and Failure in the U.S. Military. Professor, how does a federal whistleblower keep his job teaching at the West Point Military Academy?
In 2011, I reported what I believed was wrongdoing at West Point, and the Academy and the Army retaliated against me. That's not my conclusion. That's the conclusion of a federal agency to which I went.
Mm-hmm.
My situation is not particularly important. I'm a teacher. That's what I've done for the last 20 years at West Point and other years before that at other colleges. But the more significant part of that is I'm one of the few people, if any, who's been willing to speak up in the culture within the military academies, specifically West Point. And also, what it shows is that my case Bakken versus the Army was a case where a high-ranking military officer was willing to reach out and try to hurt somebody, me, simply because I had reported what I believe was wrong. Mm-hmm. What happened to me, as I said, is a small thing, but what I've related in the book, The Cost of Loyalty, is that those kinds of things, the willingness of American officers to hurt fellow Americans who work with them, has implications in those wars that I just talked about and those wrongdoing acts that I just talked about in Korea, Vietnam, and Iraq.
Well, and you would think West Point or anybody in the military honors and protects mission integrity. And if you're no longer integrous outside of the bounds of the mission, how do all of a sudden you demonstrate integrity when you're on mission? You can't have it both ways. We know that by experience. And so you're calling them out on something because there's a reason why we've lost all these wars. And what you are pointing out in your book here is that there is mission compromise that's taken place because of values and, you know, ethics that have been compromised. Is that fair to say?
That's a fair summary, certainly. And I think that is what I talk about in the book. But let me give you one additional example. I've talked about some of the considerations, separation from society and blind loyalty over everything else, over truth in particular, mm-hmm. in the military. But no one has to take it from me. The military studies this itself. In 2015, there was a study by two former colonels, West Point graduates for the Army War College, that they called dishonesty in the military. And they described exactly what you just pointed out, that is, within the military, in garrison or in everyday activities, there is a sense of dishonesty where people will fabricate almost anything because they believe, for example, that the requirements on them are too numerous and they can't simply perform the training task, such as physical fitness. And therefore, they'll say that somebody is taller than he really is so that he doesn't appear to be overweight. That's one thing. But the more important thing is exactly what you described. That is that the fabrication and the dishonesty do not stop there. They continue on, and they're part of that line from what happens at the military academies, what happens in the military at home in the United States, to what happens in the wars. The great example that we have just a couple months ago is the Afghanistan Papers, where the Washington Post reported that these are 610 interviews with leading civilian and military people, and those interviews show that nobody believed that the Afghanistan war could be won. I've read
exactly. Yeah. Professor Tim Bakken, The Cost of Loyalty, Dishonesty, Hubris, and Failure in the U.S. Military.
Thanks very much.
Back with you, America, 14 minutes before the top.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers.